And it looks like we're live. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. The Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer the question of why. And that's about as far as I'm taking the opening spiel because Shujin talks too fast, he drinks way too much coffee, and as you can tell, he's not here. He's actually currently up in Canada stealing from me one of our most precious resources, namely poutine. Anyway, so yeah, we're going without the airless feeder tonight, so we kind of went with plan B, which is yours truly taking over. So please bear with me. This is my first time. Be gentle. Yeah, I know that's what she said too. Anyways. So online, of course, I'm known as Dallin. I'm typically the co-host. Well, one of the co-hosts here, also known as the audio bitch. Largely because I'm also the guy that does the podcast feed, which I really got to fix one of these days. And tonight, I will get started by introducing our panel. Going across, or heading east in my own country here still, good evening, Heretic Woman, or I guess it's good morning, sorry.
It is, just, yes, good morning. I'm over here in Ontario. We'll be hosting said fearless leader for dinner on Monday night, so that's exciting. And, stop snickering. I husband's doing the cooking, so don't worry.
It has nothing to do with that, but okay.
Does he need the triple cookbook? Because I know where to find one.
Well, he was just going to, like, throw some meat on the barbecue, but, yeah, we could
talk. That's generally the idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That'll make for a happy triple, trust
There's
me.
There's also triple praline, triple kebab.
Well, see, I'm gonna make Tiny happy as well. I'm making funnel cakes with ice cream for dessert. So there.
Send some to me.
Can I come?
Yeah.
I'll book my plane ticket tomorrow. Damn it!
All right, come on over.
I'll be there soon. I'm bringing the alcohol.
Found it.
But other than all of that, I'm just a firebrand atheist.
And we love you for it.
Here you go.
Okay, moving south and a bit east. Good morning, Joey.
Oh, wait, I thought it was your turn.
I'm usually the first one that goes.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Joseph. Veteran. Yep. Designer.
Yep.
Asshole. Skeptic. What more do you need to know?
I think that's plenty. And then moving over to just a hair's breadth of the nation's capital, good morning, Tech.
Do you have to keep reminding me where I live? I mean, you know, it's bad enough that I got to hear the crap that comes out of some of these people's mouths. It's just, all right, fine, I'm bitching over and done with. Hi, hey. I'm Unknown Tech, currently reside in Maryland, and I'm an atheist.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, call it crap in stereo. You know, I dump crap on you, you get crap dumped on from the other place. It all works out. And finally, and rounding out the panel tonight, from the great state of Indiana, and I'm trying to use that term as friendly as possible, good morning, Bridget.
Well, it's still evening here, but evening. I'm Bridget Fitch, currently stuck in the great state of Indiana, and I'm somewhat a reluctant activist that I've had to become because of the asshole governor that we have.
Yes, and we'll be discussing said governor tonight. God, I hate using that term with him because, wow, just based on everything. If you're looking to join the show, where you do have our question and answer board up, which Katie has already taken advantage of.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Oh, and Joseph will be here momentarily. He forgot about daylight savings time.
That was last week.
I know.
Some people it takes a little time to catch up on.
Wow, I've heard of delayed reaction, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's shaking the sleep off himself right now.
Okay. Well, okay, so like I said at the beginning, Shujin Tribble is not here tonight. So he basically asked me, he says, hey, do you want to take over the show? I said no, and he said, too bad, you're going to do it anyway.
Lazy bastard thinks that he gets frickin' vacation days.
Well, you know, he could have hosted the Hangout from his cell phone, probably.
I might be making him do my show on Monday night, depending on when he gets there.
Yeah,
so.
Dallin.
Yeah.
Think to yourself for a moment, and recall all the times that that has worked out for us in the past.
Doing shows on phones, yeah.
Fair point. Very fair point.
Coming almost from a Tim Hortons near you, right, Joe?
No, that was on my laptop. That was on my laptop. I don't have, okay. I do not have a smartphone.
That's right. He's got one that actually makes phone calls.
Well, Beth calls hers a dumb phone.
Wait, who uses phones to make phone calls anymore? Don't do people text?
People call me. I don't often call people, so...
I actually got a phone call on my landline today, and I when I saw the area code from Saskatchewan, I thought, oh, gee, must be one of the family. Picked up the phone. Yeah, this isn't the co-op, is it? No, sir, it is not, in fact, the co-op.
I trust you all enjoyed the wonderful view of my crotch.
Lovely.
Oh, sadly.
For those of you who are listening in the future on the podcast version of this,
you don't know what
you missed.
That's okay. Since Tiny's coming over, I promise you, Jin, I would put the water bottle somewhere non-visible.
Probably a good idea. I mean, she's, you know, I've met her. She's a very smart, very intelligent, very mature girl, but...
Yes. The giggling would never end.
Probably not, and she might turn, you know, fuchsia or something, so we're just going to put it away.
Well,
more like inappropriate conversation at school day.
Yeah.
Sadly, I seem to have misplaced it, but for those of you who are curious, I have a Nokia 2610.
I think I vaguely remember those.
That's old school.
Yeah, that was one of those phones I think could actually throw it at somebody and cause severe head trauma.
Referred to as the brick.
Yep.
Referred to as Nth or Uru, the densest material on the in the known universe. Also known as the stuff that Thor's hammer is made out of.
Yes, that wonderful stuff we call unobtainium.
No. I'm sorry.
I like that.
Little prick. Look, I'm not going to judge the movie in one way or another with, you know, all the allegations of, you know, Aboriginal themes and all that stuff. Screw all that. I'm just focused on that one little prick who I absolutely wanted somebody to shove out of an airlock.
Gee. Actually, I was talking
about... Can't imagine which one he's talking about.
Well, I was talking about the movie The Core, because the ship they used to go down into the Earth's core was also made of unobtainium.
Really?
Yeah, really.
This is the one where they somehow managed to make suits that allowed them to walk around in the mantle of a frick. I'm sorry. Look. No.
Yeah, I mean.
No.
Well, technically, unobtainium can't be destroyed. So.
Look, I enjoy watching CinemaSins, especially the ones where they manage to get Neil deGrasse Tyson to either guest star or send them snippets that they plug in here and there. For example, Gravity and Interstellar. But, no! The Core? Really?
Hey. You know, whatever. Anyways, maybe we should get started here. So with apologies to Noah, Heath, Lucinda, and Shujin, your bastardized 5-minute freestyle with me moving my eyes down because I don't have this memorized starts now. Who is the monster? We hear that word a lot these days, monster. It invokes in us a vision of something terrible, something so horrific and immoral that we have reason to fear it. I mean, back in the day, most of us grew up believing that there was a monster under the bed, or one in the closet, you know, ready to leap out when our parents weren't looking. And maybe for some of us, that monster, maybe it was real, but that's not really the point I'm getting at here. We're known as atheists, free thinkers, skeptics, all that. But at one point or another, we've also all been called a monster. We're usually called it by those who scream from the pulpit, from those that talk about happy faces on the icky open sores. Not my words, when they're talking about homosexuals, to allegations of Planned Parenthood shaking hands with black market body parts dealers. And, you know, and just when you think you've heard it all, some other loudmouth with a congregation and a microphone steps up and heaps even more crap on us. But are we the monster? When's the last time an atheist prevented a woman from having an abortion, citing some reason that made absolutely no damn sense? Has anyone heard of a secularist refusing to serve someone because of who that person loved? And when was the last time the news talked about a humanist inciting people to go out and stone other people because they happen to love someone of the same gender? When was the last time we had to lie about religion to make ourselves seem righteous? Every day we hear it in the news or on a podcast about how some god or some other sky daddy is the reason behind some kind of atrocity in the world. And I'm not just talking about suicide bombs or anything large scale. It can be anything smaller than that. A parent beats up his kid after the kid comes out of the closet. Well, because God hates fags. A man screams at a woman going into an abortion clinic for either an appointment or a consultation because God wants you to keep your baby. You stone a woman in the streets for being raped, and it's her fault because Allah said she tempted the man. Denying anyone their basic human rights? Because God said so. To all the Pat Robertsons, the Pastor Andersons, the James Mannings, Brian Fishers, and the Mike Pences out of the world, you want to know who the monster is? Do you? Because you see, I know who it is. I see and hear about it every day when I turn on my TV or my radio or tune into my favorite podcast. The monster has many faces, but it always has the same voice. We do what we do because the Sky Daddy tells us to. So who's the monster? You want to know? Take a look in the goddamn mirror. That's who the monster is. So on the docket tonight, Your Honor, we have episode 107, Pension Plan. A bit of a play on words. I do not apologize. I'm actually not going to be Canadian about this. And this show was actually inspired by our lovely lady from Indiana, Bridget, who sent us a very nice little article about Governor Mike Pence, who is rapidly becoming one of the most hated people in the United States, at least to hear the media talk about it. Just recently, he has been, he was working on passing House Bill 1337. Yes, I know what he did there. The TLDR of this, folks, is he's making it not necessarily illegal to get an abortion in Indiana, but heaven help you if you need one, because now you've got to jump through more hoops than a frickin' circus lion. And tonight, I just wanted to touch, sort of get some details on that and just maybe have a bit of a discussion about it. So, Bridget, do you want to sort of give us a summary of what exactly this individual is trying to do?
Well, for those who are not familiar with Mike Pence, he's a Tea Party darling, and he makes Ted Cruz look like a flaming liberal. Okay, I mean, he is, yeah, he's that hardcore. What this bill is that he plans on signing is it would more or less ban abortions except for in the cases of rape and incest. And even if you had an abortion for those reasons, you would still have to have a vaginal ultrasound, you would still have to have a waiting period, and you would have to pay for funeral or cremation expenses after having the abortion. And there are only 4 counties in the state now where you can even have access to an abortion. Technically, legally, you could still have one up until the 20th week. However, if there are any anomalies with the fetus at all, you are not allowed to terminate, period. You must give birth to the child, no matter how disabled it will be, or if it will, you know, die later on in the pregnancy or die shortly after birth, you have to give birth to it.
So everything's hunky-dory, you can kill it.
Yeah.
But if it's not hunky-dory, oh my God, you got to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm going to go over in the corner and I'm going to go drink some bleach because it makes more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is they're encouraging hospice for neonates who are going to die, which is really expensive. I don't know what else to say about this. The state has cut so much funding from Medicaid and from SCHIP and from WIC as it is, they're not going to pay the additional fees. It's going to be the parents' responsibilities, and so, you know, Flying Spaghetti Monster help them if they do happen to have a severely disabled child that they're forced to give birth to. There's not going to be any help for them.
Wow. And I see our other panelist from across the pond has finally woken up and smelled the coffee, at least, to come and join us.
But if everything is hunky-dory and you can, you know, still get your abortion with no problems, you still have to have a cremated or a burial for it. That's part of the law.
That's fucked up. That's messed up.
I saw that sentence, and I actually had to click the article off because I saw it at work. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have done me very good, me trying to put a fist through a screen. I was, the utter absurdity of it. But yes, our gentleman from across the pond over in France has decided to join us. Good morning, Joseph.
Daylight savings time.
I said this before. That was a week ago, dude.
He's had a very busy week.
He must have. That's okay. Last Monday I woke up to go to work, and it was just, I was cursing a few things too.
I was about to say, it's like most of the Americans thinking that the sun orbits around them, but, you know, you're Canadian. What excuse do you have?
I didn't say I liked it.
We actually have a completely even panel of Canucks and Americans right now. And of guys and girls.
Great.
That's kind of cool.
But the Canadians don't have guns.
No, we don't. But, you know, we have poutine, apparently.
Well, not for much longer if the Ray Chugin's going.
Yeah. I will not be serving poutine. But yeah, the whole, are they trying to make any claims that this is to protect women, like that crap that they usually do? Or are they at least being honest and saying, we're doing this because we think abortion's bad?
I haven't heard any claims one way or the other, but I do know this. If you try to take any RU486, you better hope that they don't find out about it. People who have tried to take that and induce their own abortion legally before 20th week have been jailed for attempted murder in Indiana. So
it's ridiculous. And the whole, like, burying it, it's like the article said, like, half the time or more than half the time, it's like a clump of cells. It's you know.
It looks like the early experiments in the Ant-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
hit him with a ray, splat, and that's just all it is. Just a little, it's a grease stain.
I think that's just to make it cost prohibitive, so that way people can't afford to have an abortion.
You know, it reminds me a lot of something. Oil companies used to do something to, when they were trying to get rid of somebody, but to do so in a way that they couldn't be seen as doing something underhanded.
Right.
And it became something called constructive dismissal.
I remember hearing about those.
Yeah, where you make your work conditions so intolerable, either
so miserable, denying
people from meetings, yeah, miserable, that the person ends up quitting and therefore doesn't have to worry about, the company doesn't have to worry about anything like severance packages or anything like that because you've quit.
For those people who don't understand this but may have seen the movie Office Space, mm-hmm. imagine getting your stapler stolen and then moving all your stuff into the supply closet or the basement. My stapler. That's what they were doing to that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, I have a friend who also lives in Indiana or who is going to, and when I first heard about this article, I mentioned it to her, and she said that apparently Mike Pence is one of the most hated governors in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's still in office.
And he will probably win re-election too.
Yeah, that was the other thing she said. Apparently all you have to do down there is say, I hate fags and praise God, and you can be a politician.
Yes.
But, mm-hmm. like, is there any kind of protest, anything going on down there that, you know, is, like, waking this guy up to what he's doing? Are people taking action?
No. Not really. The only blowback that I saw was when the first version of RFRA came out and larger corporations started boycotting the city and they lost millions of dollars. Then he decided to walk it back a little bit, but that was coming from, you know, non-locals.
Yeah.
That was the rest of the country. The people here don't give a shit.
It's far less likely that some big event is going to say, oh, well, you don't like abortion, well, we're going to leave. Like, it's not the same kind of impacts, unfortunately.
Yeah, people here are not fighting back. They're allowing it. Like I had mentioned, you know, off air before we went live, in 2012, he was going to sign into law something called the Lord's Prayer Bill, where public schools were going to require their students to recite the Lord's Prayer at the start of every school day, which is, you know, unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Constitution does not faze this guy. He will sign things, and then they will be in law until the courts can overturn them, however long that takes. Yeah. And the only reason why that was not signed into law is because of complaint filed, you know, by a mother with standing, who got in contact with, Freedom From Religion Foundation and said, put a stop to this because it passed through the House and the Senate and was sitting on his desk, and he had planned a big signing ceremony for it.
So why don't people, you know, get up in arms about this?
Because there are a bunch of evangelicals and fundamentalists in the state who are, you know, all, you know, well, bring this country back to Jesus, and Mike is the man. So
there is that. There is most certainly that.
Indiana is full of it.
Also a matter of, and it's not the first time we've touched on this subject, you know, when something like this happens that you disagree with, there's a lot of younger folks out there who are like, oh, well, I'm not going to vote because my one vote's not going to matter. Yeah, well, the problem is there's probably a good percentage of you that think that way. And if you all actually did, you know, take part in the whole political process, the one of you, sure, might not make a big dent. All of you?
There is a gentleman that I'm loosely friends with, and I'm not going to name his name on the show because, well, doesn't matter. I will say that he is a he's a Viking, believe it or not. And he served in the U.S. Armed Forces. And
rowboat.
I have no idea, but it'd be funny as heck. he doesn't vote at all, ever. And his mentality, and I've tried to sit down and talk with him, but he's one of those who you can argue with him all you want, but he is like Ken Ham. Not in in the religious sense, but in the sense of, no, you can't convince me because I refuse to be convinced.
Okay.
He is convinced that no matter how people vote, the politicians with the backing of the orders through the military will get whatever they want, whenever they want, and there's nothing any American do. And I'm pretty sure he's not the only person who thinks that way. But then you have people like me who come along and go, well, one of my family members was in the Army Air Corps. You know, one of my other family members was a Green Beret. Okay, I never qualified when I tried to get into the military. They did not want me. But the point is that, you know, I've heard the stories, and I've heard about all the different types of people that they met. And they come from all walks of life. You know, not just paranoid, not just God-fearing. There's atheists in foxholes. There are Muslim men and women who serve in our armed forces, whether it's the Army or Navy or Air Force. And
there are vegans in there.
We got vegans. People who don't eat bacon are in our armed forces people.
Vegans with guns.
They're just as diverse as we are.
I mean,
think about how the fact that they're just as diverse as we are. And if somebody came up to you and told you that you had to go to the doors of all your loved ones and friends and hold them up at gunpoint, would you do it? There's enough people like that in the military who would not allow that to happen.
I don't exactly see where you're going. Sorry, I was just.
What I'm going with is that he has the mentality that it doesn't matter what we vote for, because if the politicians order the military to do something to enforce some kind of law of some way, shape, or form, like let's say that the president signs into law, regardless of what president it is, let's say a president with the backing of a whole bunch of politicians sign into law saying that any Americans who do not give up their guns are automatically criminals who need to be immediately incarcerated, and the police, the fire department, and any branch of any forces have the right to go into your home without a warrant and search it for guns. Now tell me, how many of those people do you think are actually going to do that? And how many are going to fight back, and how many are going to say, I'm not interested, I'm going to passively resist? The point I'm trying to get across is they're just as diverse as we are. So when you say your vote doesn't count and you choose not to vote, remember, there's a lot of other people out there that are thinking the same way as you. And to get them to change, you have to change.
Well, it's simpler than that, because, I mean, if you don't vote, for every one vote you don't make, well, a crazy gets theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost counts as two. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And when I look at all this, the article and all that, sorry, it took me a second to get up to date. I just see what's going on is it's a dictate that's being put in place. And that's it. And people are like, applauding it. It's scary to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because it's the inherent baggage that comes with abortion. It's, you know, especially when you get into religious people, it's the assumption that anybody who wants an abortion has done something to get, you know, in that position. And then that abortion is just bad no matter what. And so therefore making laws to essentially punish people who are looking to get an abortion, it's okay because they must have done something to be in that predicament anyway. And we can't blame the poor little babies for their terrible deeds and that kind of crap, you know.
I have actually heard religious people say that if a woman gets pregnant because a condom had a manufacturer's defect in its structural integrity when it was made. Now, granted, they didn't use complex words, but when somebody got pregnant from a broken condom, it was their freaking fault for having sex in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to try to stop you a little earlier, but you got to remember, these are the same kind of groups of people who, not too long ago, were, you know, talking about how condoms bad.
caused
the major, you know, oh well, if you use condoms, there's all these dangerous side effects that could happen to you that, you know, cause, you know, the majority of the damn AIDS epidemic over in Africa right now.
We also had Richard Murdoch, who almost got elected, you know, who was Mr. Rape, babies are a gift from God. Indiana.
I think if you want to see something really interesting, though, with the Catholic Church and their take on condoms when the AIDS epidemic was first starting out, and they were saying, no, you can't have condoms because condoms are a sin. AIDS is a punishment from God. Therefore, if you have sex and get AIDS, it's your own damn fault. But this other virus that's out now, the Rika virus, if I remember the name correctly, where if a woman who gets it is either, I think if she gets it while she's pregnant or becomes pregnant, the brain and head development of the baby is it's squashed. They basically come out with these tiny little heads, improperly formed brains, the whole nine yard. And Zika virus. And what's interesting about that is now the church is kind of going, well, you know, it's not too bad to wear condoms. Because to me, from my viewpoint, as an atheist, I'm going, it's AIDS, the AIDS is okay because they're still cognitive, they can still pray, they can still donate money to the church. But if their brain's impaired and they can't understand your religious prattle and give you money, then that's not a good thing.
Do you really think they think like that?
Some of them, yeah. Some of those cardinals and bishops, I really do think that.
It is about
because there are some people who have come from that area who have talked about the things that they've talked about behind closed doors and how unreligious, unholy some of those talks can be.
Because you've got two types of humans. You've got the humans who know how to survive on their own, and then you've got humans who rely on other ones for survival. And these, just watching this, I mean, it's scary. It's not a democracy. I mean, what we're seeing, you know, it's like...
religion never was a democracy.
Well, no, it's totalitarianism. No matter how you look at it, they just use different tools for crowd control. That's all. Well, they use woo. That's all. So,
because if you look at what's being presented, there's no reasonable reasoning behind it. Like some of the ones, like the ones that say the doctor has to have admitting privileges, or you know, the hallway has to be big enough to accommodate two gurneys at once, and all that stuff. They couch that, well, we're just trying to make it safer for women. But there's like nothing in what's being proposed here that I think anybody could reasonably say it's to, quote, protect women. It's about dictating what those women can and cannot do, like Joseph said. It's like a
democracy, that's all. Like
you said, that no one, Bridget, has tried to quantify it in any terms like that. And it's almost as if, like you said, he's just out and out saying, I don't think these chicks should be allowed to have abortions, and I'm going to do everything I can to prevent it. Meh, screw you.
Well, he's a theocrat.
Yeah.
So if you can somehow wrap it up in the Bible, if you can wrap it up in the Bible, it's good, according to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Bible, and, I mean, the little red book, no difference.
And, I mean, and some of the crap in there is just like, you know, not only now do you have to look at an ultrasound, you have to listen to the heartbeat and then wait 18 hours. So that means that, you know, unless you happen to be fortunate enough to live in the town where the damn clinic is, you have to get a hotel. And then, like you said, you've got to pay to have, you know, the little bit of tissue cremated or whatnot. Or, I mean, what is somebody going to start marketing embryo coffins now? Like, what the hell is that?
Well, that looks like a petri dish with duct tape on it.
Yeah.
and then take a little head of a popsicle stick and like carve the name you were going to give it.
I was going to say, get a Sharpie and draw a little cross on it. You
can't do that with a Sharpie because the tip is too big. What you need is one of those very fine, like 3.3 millimeter lead pencils.
Okay. Well,
they do have Sharpies with the extra fine tip for writing on CDs and stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
They can write shit in atoms. These days,
you know, that's a good point. That, you know what? That there you go. There's something that they should add on to the bill, that they should have the name inscribed on the fetus itself at the atomic level.
There you go.
If we're going to be invasive, let's be really invasive here, folks. Let's go full fisting, okay? You know,
I'm not sure if we're helping the situation or harming it even further here.
Who here is?
Okay, I'm using sarcasm, people. I'm not being serious.
Who here?
Bridget, please don't kill me the first time we meet each other in person.
The irony here is that you know, we're talking about it. Look at the fecundity, I don't even know if that's English, but the fecundity rate of educated countries is way lower than the United States, like Scandinavian countries. It takes education to really rationalize this kind of thing and really talk about it. But this education is exactly what would kill the guys making laws like this. They would be out of office in like a heartbeat.
And that's why we have places like Texas who are creating textbooks with, oh, well, creation is a thing and Moses wrote the Constitution and all of that crap, because dumber people don't make good decisions, and people that don't make good decisions make more Christian babies.
Yeah, it's all for that. It's for the sorry, Joseph.
No, go ahead.
No, well, it's all about the survival of the dictatorship. That's what these laws are geared for.
Well,
and I mean, and the one thing that's not said, I've probably said it on the show before, but it's win-win for them, because I mean, even a baby born into a poor family, that's orphanage fodder, and orphanages are great for filling the ranks of the clergy.
Yes, they are.
Is a lot of our far right politicians now that are not even GOP. I don't even know what you would call them. But especially ones in the northwest part of the state that are, you know, elected at the state level as far as representatives go. Some of them say they're proud members of Generation Joshua, and they're in the Army of Joel. So these are the people that have gotten elected.
What is that Generation Joshua?
Those are people who were meant to lead a spiritual army in the latter days. And it's a war against good and evil, so they're ready to conduct spiritual warfare.
They're playing on the whole rapture crap again, too, then.
Yeah, and they're getting elected to office. They're sweeping offices statewide.
And I would say that's because the believers really want Jesus to come back so they get heaven and all, you know. Then they don't have to be afraid.
Justin Bieber was up to no... Oh, wait, never mind.
You know, when I say that Indiana is turning into a theocracy, I mean, it's not an exaggeration. They are. And these theocrats are being elected just, like, hand over fist.
Which...
They're making all these laws.
Really surprising for me. I mean, I kind of thought...
This has only been since 2010. This is recent. Well,
then that makes sense because, you know, in my experience, this kind of stuff stopped, you know, at the Bible Belt. And
It has not always been this way. When I moved here in 2006, this place was sane.
Yeah. Well, Afghanistan was sane, too, until the Taliban moved in.
Yeah.
Well,
it can happen anywhere.
Afghanistan's still sane. They just have a slight roach problem.
Yeah, but the roaches are ruling. The roaches are ruling the roost, and this is going back to what you were saying earlier about not voting. Well, this is exactly what happens when you don't vote, because the few crazies who make the most noise,
if you think about it, too, the religion, the theists believe that Jesus wants them to vote for a Jesus lover. So they are motivated.
That's what the guy in the pulpit is telling them.
I know. But
that's what it's all about.
They've got that motivation behind them is, you know, Father, what's his face, said, oh, Jesus wants you to vote for ex crazy bastard in office, and well, we got to make Jesus happy because we want heaven, so they're just going to vote for whoever because they got told to that that's what Jesus wants. And that's how these idiots get voted in, because all of the rational people, like you say, are like, oh, well, I don't need to vote. They don't have that fire under them, like, oh, Jesus is going to reward me in heaven because I voted for Mr. Anti-Abortion, you know?
It doesn't take much to get people to vote, because you just have to somehow convince them that their vote matters. Yes. And that's kind of why I'm happy about, you know, Bernie Sanders. Don't roll your eyes. But, but I mean, even if he doesn't get in, people are just, it's finally starting to dawn that on people that they actually have a say, because I mean, even the movement that's behind him now, that said something. So, you know, next time around, maybe we'll have a little more confidence.
Well, one thing
I shouldn't speak too early, but.
Katie in the question and answer board made a really interesting point. Yeah, and by the way, hi, Katie, again. I'm running off of no coffee today, so if I seem to get a little senile, I'm old. That's my excuse, okay? But she says...
Thanks. What does that make us?
I'm older than you. Jesus.
Yeah.
But I have coffee.
Yeah, so you have coffee, damn you. Katie says is... It seems at this point that the religious right-wingers have been creeping up since the death of Madeleine Mary O'Hare, which she was like the cornerstone of atheism, and says now they are out in full force.
Yeah.
And this was one question that was buzzing around in my head about this whole situation in Indiana. Now, places like institutions like the FFRF and other groups, they've gone through great strides, and they've achieved, I guess what you could call victories, you know, getting Ten Commandments statues off of lawns, getting rid of mandated prayers in schools and in other public houses like courts and I meant other government sessions. Yeah. Sorry, that's
wrong,
the Canadian
wrong side of the pond there, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
We like our tea salty.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
You know, Joey, you should have said that one in more of a Boston accent. No, I can't do Boston.
No, I can't do Boston, man. No.
Oh boy, if we were in the pocket of a show, we'd get so much hate mail for this.
If you want to hear a Boston accent, go watch Booze Traveler.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of me, he's reviewing.
Can I give you guys a bit of hope, though? Because I finished David Silverman's book this week, and anybody who hasn't read it, and I mean, even as a Canadian, because somebody said, well, why do you want to read that? It's all American-centric. And I'm like, no. If you got to read this thing, because one thing that David does is he provides some empirical evidence that he and American Atheists and all of us are slowly making a difference, a change. And he crunches numbers and he shows some quantified. Now, it's not definitive per se, because he freely admits that he doesn't have, you know, the best kind of data to work with, but what he does work with does show a very, very positive outlook.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm coming from with this, is we have all of these victories, if you want to call them that, and this is not a slight against what the FFRF is doing here, but it seems that compared to this one coming in under the radar, getting a big chunk of concrete off a lawn seems superfluous. And I just wanted to put it out there. Is there something that we as a movement, I don't want to say community, but we as an atheist free thinking movement, is there something we could have done about this, or is there something we can still do?
It's about
Right now, just Indiana feels like collateral damage in this whole thing, but I mean, this is major. We're talking about people's lives.
This is shit that happens when people get too comfortable. I mean, you know, it sneaks up on you. And it's like everywhere, the theocracy, even in the Middle East, I mean, it's just crept up on people. It's a recent phenomenon. It's only started in the 1980s.
Well, and I think, too, because look at how insane this bill is, right? I mean, up until now, it's been little things like, well, the doctor should have admitting privileges, or, oh, we should wait till X number of weeks, or, oh, you should, you know, look at an ultrasound first. But this is, like, way over the top. And honestly, I think this is a direct reaction to them realizing that they are losing the war. And I think that they are. And what you were saying about the bench or the monuments and whatnot, I hate to go back to it, but I just finished it, so it's fresh in my mind. But David Silverman does address that. He does address that in not quite the way you were thinking of it, but his whole approach to things like that isn't necessarily, you know, well, the monument itself is a threat to secular separation, but it's press. Things like that get attention. So every time when the FFRF goes out and says, hey, you can't have that prayer group, you know, sanctioned by the school, or American Atheist goes out and says, hey, you can't have that monument there or whatnot. It's not necessarily about the battle itself. It's the coverage, because the press goes ape over it. And it's you really have to read it, because it's a whole nuanced thing. But the focus isn't what you might think it is. And from the data that I've seen, that strategy has been making dividends.
Okay. Again, just like I said, I realize that the removal, it's not about the monument, it's about what's behind it. And the fact that, you do get press, it does shine a light on things, and you hope that the exposure sheds a little light of education as to, you know, what's really in the Constitution that everybody's waving around.
Yes.
But at the same time, I just...
It does seem like it's focused in an odd direction. I agree. You're totally right. But like now, Bridget, was there any kind of warning that he would try something like this, or that people were going to write this kind of law, or did it just kind of like, boom, oh, look what we're going to do. Meh.
This one was a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing things pretty much since January 2010, and they keep pushing it a little bit further and a little bit further. You know, at first there was a 20-week ban, and that stuck. You know, then, do you remember the case in Texas several months ago of the brain-dead woman who was, you know, 14 weeks pregnant?
Yes.
we have a similar law here, except that the only requirement is the woman has to be diagnosed as being pregnant. So you could be 3 or 4 weeks pregnant. Viability has nothing to do with, you know, the outcome. If you're brain dead and your family wants you taken off life support, if you've been diagnosed as pregnant, then too bad. You have to be kept on life support.
Yeah.
And to think of somebody who's 3 or 4 weeks pregnant put in that predicament, that is just disgusting. There's no way the fetus can live, but that doesn't matter. Most states have some sort of a cutoff at like 22 or 24 weeks. You know, if a couple of weeks will make a difference and the fetus could be viable, then they may put you on life support for a couple of weeks. But Indiana is one of the few states where there is no lower limit.
And it makes me laugh, you know, because people are all worried, the ones that support this kind of crap, they go, well, you know, if we allow this and then that's going to happen and the whole slippery slope crap. We do not have any law restricting abortion in Canada at all. None. Nada. Zip. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way since 1988. And you know what happened is the Canadian Medical Association got together and said, we're going to create guidelines that we feel comfortable with. And from my understanding is that the cutoff week for, hey, I want an abortion is 20 weeks, which is pretty much what, you know, a lot of more reasonable laws come up with. And yet, you know, and they've decided themselves that that's what we feel comfortable with. But if there's a situation, there's nothing prohibiting a doctor and their patient from deciding that we need to look outside that self-imposed restriction because your situation is different and we need to look at what's best for you and your situation. Mm-hmm. Now, and I think I'd have to go and look, but I think there might be second or third opinions required the later on you go, but it's still entirely possible. And nobody is going to go around and say, well, you know, oh, that happened and it's going to get worse. And next thing you know, they're going to start killing babies after they're born and all that crap you hear all the time. We don't need an abortion law. We don't. And we're fine with it.
They've been talking personhood here, so it could be worse.
Ugh.
And under personhood, then there goes your IUDs and your birth control and your IVF. Just poof.
And that's the end game. The end game is to make sure that everything that can be possibly done to ensure a woman can become pregnant will be done.
Yeah.
I mean, if they really cared about the woman, okay, then...
Or the fetus, for that matter.
Or even if for that matter, if they knew that an unwanted child has a high potential to be aborted, then they would help the research institutes and the R&D companies make better prophylactics so that when it did come time for them to want to become pregnant, you know, they could do so and have a wanted child rather than aborting children.
Or,
but the thing is, Tech, sex for any reason other than procreation is a sin, according to a lot of these people.
So
prophylactic isn't going to help you because
ironically
they don't
enough,
want you
doing
it in the first
place. It didn't used to be a sin. That's relatively new to certain religions.
Mm-hmm. That is new.
Yeah.
But new or old, it's there now.
Christianity they didn't even care about marriage until the at least the 13th century. It wasn't even a covenant. Yeah.
They used to have nuns where their sole purpose was if you were a guy and you wanted to have sex, rather than going out and seeking your local prostitute, you went up to the church and saw the nun. And you didn't pray with the nun, but you did get a little service.
It's the first I've heard about this.
It wasn't a standard kind of nun. The concept being that if we're going to do this,
an Uber nun.
You, do it with the permission and the guidance of
it was a nun.
The church, the religious leaders. Okay. Yeah. Rather than doing it with a potential unholy person at the town, you know, that might be
right
at, in the town tavern or something like that.
Holy, the kind of entire point of having sex?
Wouldn't that make Jesus a polygamist then?
If
not a polygamist, a polyamorist, because he's like lending out his wives to his parishioners.
All of the apostles were married, except for one.
Now I'm suddenly seeing the I'm seeing the nun from the Blues Brothers in a terrifyingly new light. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to read about this now, but. It's just, it all boils down to controlling people's sexuality and ensuring as many women who ever decide they want to have sex end up with a baby or six.
It's just, I could make it simpler. It's just about controlling people. I don't think these people passing these laws give a shit about whether the baby lives or the mother's in danger or anything. It's no. Just people obeying. That's it. And that they could pass laws like this, like these people governing on ignorance, the fact that they can stay in office, you know, that's why they're doing it. Because they can. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's know-nothing, lazy humans governing others. And it's the only thing that's keeping them in office is ignorance. And what's it about this, there's a discussion to be had around abortion. I mean, and it would help us a lot if we knew the age of sentience for a fetus. It would help the conversation a lot. But religion is screwing it up for the rest of us. We can't have a rational discussion about it. They're making it impossible.
When you've got people who are like, well, hey, the minute that sperm wiggles its way in there, boom, that's it. It's a person. Like, come on.
50% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage. Oh, I'm losing my English. Yeah, miscarriage. Okay.
Yeah. And like, they speculate it could be even higher than that.
And some even later term than, you know, what's legally allowed in abortion. So, I mean, if you try to rationalize it, it doesn't make sense. But it's not about rationality. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not a rationality. Well,
that's why they're all about abstinence-only education here, too.
Gotta control tickly bits.
Yeah, which is about as effective as the Swiss cheese condom. I mean,
yeah,
and that's been proven. Like, it's been proven that abstinence-only education doesn't work.
They don't care.
No, they exactly.
They want any woman who has sex should be having a damn baby, period, no matter what the circumstances.
They want there to be consequences for the woman.
They would hate me, man. I hit menopause at 30. I'd be like, yep.
So I guess the question, the last question that sort of comes up on this is, okay, it couldn't be prevented. Mike went and wrote it. What now?
Oh, it could have been prevented, but it's
It could have been, but the fact is it wasn't. The fact is, like...
Well, if it came out of the blue...
What we have to look at is really how did this fucking thing come into being? I mean, what were the circumstances that allowed it to happen? And that's what we have to prevent. So just, like, honing in on the actual law and, like, trying to get the law out, you have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, so the question is, what can we do in the future, or what can we do moving forward to prevent something like this from happening again?
Vote!
Possibly, could we stop this now? Like, I know we're kind of hoping that the Supreme Court will overturn it, but there's no guarantee of that, especially now with Obama on his way out.
And these fuckers know. As soon as they get a law into place, it's hard as hell to get it out.
Well,
I think I said that a lot earlier in the show.
Yep. Yeah, you did.
Now I haven't read the article in an hour-ish, but did it not say that parts of it were unconstitutional? What was being proposed?
Like, see, that's recent too, because I mean, 20 years ago, nobody would even dare trying to put across a law that's unconstitutional.
And now, like, it happens regularly in a lot of because states. Like works. Because some of these RFRA laws that are statewide are unconstitutional, and they know full well that they are unenforceable, but they want it on the books anyway. Like, what's the deal with that?
I think the deal is that more and more people are becoming, you know, with the advent of the internet and the ability to actually get information where you can now read the Constitution online, people are seeing that becoming more educated. And so all of these people putting up these RFRA acts are saying, oh, geez, the jig is up. Mm-hmm. Like has been mentioned before here tonight and on other shows, it could be that mark of desperation that they're trying as hard as they can to dig in, even though the ground's not as stable as they think it is or as they want it to be.
Yeah.
The thing is with laws like this, it's the more of them you get on the books, the easier it is for them to just do away with the Constitution. It's just a gradual undermining of, you know, when precedent outweighs actual law. Yeah. It becomes easy to how do you say subvert, but cancel the existing laws. I mean, that's how laws change. It can be go positively or can go negatively.
Wow, I think this is the quietest the panel's ever been on this show.
Yeah,
we don't know what to do. I mean, yeah. My solution was to, you know, get the hell out of here. I don't know what else to do. But
I think you're right about this being an act of desperation. It's one or the other. I mean, it's a last-ditch attempt.
And, you know, the article that you brought up earlier is correct as well, Bridget. You know, they're pretty much doing this simply because they can right now, because nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, because everybody's focused on Trump.
Yeah, that was actually, that was the tone of the article, is that, like, while Trump is doing his puppet show over here, Pence slips this one in without anybody really knowing because everybody's kind of sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You know, but it's... Yeah. I don't know, it's...
But he's been doing stuff like this ever since he got in the office.
Yeah.
And How long has he been there?
He just doesn't care.
I think he's been there since, what, 2010?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 6 years to basically destroy a state.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's incredible. And
what else has he done? Yeah, like is he for corporations, like corporation loopholes and pollution? And
no, I think he's been strictly just making laws in the name of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a theocrat through and through, and so he's been passing law accordingly.
Well, as long as whatever he's preaching is in line with whatever the preacher's preaching, I think that's all that's going on here.
He strikes me as one of these guys that's like, I'm governor, I do what I want. He's like Cartman.
I'm authority.
I do what I want.
You will respect my authority.
I don't know, really. You just not to throw a race card in here, but honestly, you substitute the name Mike for like Muhammad. You're not seeing a lot of difference between what he's trying to pull here versus what they've got going on overseas there.
Yeah, that's why I call him Taliban.
It's not a race card, by the way.
No. And I go one further. Religion card. You substitute the Bible for the little red book, the Communist Manifesto. That's why the accusation, the theist accusation that atheists are like communists, that's why it annoys me, because I mean you know, like, oh, I'm repeating myself, but change the little red book for the Bible. I mean, people are behaving exactly in the same way. I mean, witch hunts and clan mentality, and okay, you have to fight for the communist ideology. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should think about scheduling this a little bit earlier in the week or in the day, don't you think?
Why did you have to go for that midnight, anyways? Who's awake and this?
I don't know. I didn't know tribbles were nocturnal, so.
There's a reason why we call them the American Taliban, and I call them Tihadists.
They multiply.
They've declared Tihad on our asses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know,
they're coming from the Tea Party.
Well, and the other thing I find interesting is that now I'll admit my list of podcasts that I've listened to in the atheist religion field, atheist slash religion field, let's be clear here, it's gone down quite a bit in the past few months. But I think, I don't know if anybody has reported on this one yet.
I hadn't heard of it until I logged in, so.
Yeah, no. Wow, and I thought Shujin was the one that usually caught us with our collective pants down when it came to articles.
Well, we don't often have a lot to read ahead of the show either, so.
But
one of those that just made my brain go.
Yeah. So what I'm hoping is that that in the next week or so, or in the weeks to follow, that this story, like, I don't know how much of a signal boost we can give it, who we are, but if we can get the word out to other shows, I think people just need to wake up and see that this is what happens when you don't vote. This is what happens when you let the village idiot take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it might be, I'm hoping it's not too late for Indiana because, and again, one of the reasons that this one really struck is because my fiance is going to be moving down there for a while, very soon.
Yeah. Why?
So, reasons. But the thing is now anything that this jackhole does is going to be personal to me. Yeah. And maybe that's why this one struck a chord so much is like, I don't want her to go down there, and I'm working as hard as I can to get her up here through the immigration process, but there are still a few hurdles that we have to clear before we can do that.
I think your village idiot analogy is right, because that's the hardest part, because, you know, we're talking about this here internationally, but what's going on there is a village mentality. I mean, nobody is aware of anything outside of their own little bubble.
But the thing
that's exactly what these guys are controlling.
Yeah, but Joseph, like 50 years ago, these were the guys that would stand out in the town square on their soapbox and yell and scream that the world is near, you know, the end is near, and people were whipping eggs and tomatoes at these guys. Now they're ruling the roost. That's when we were doing the little bios and stuff at the very end when I said the village idiots were starting to get into seats of power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the people we used to laugh our asses off at just a few decades ago.
Okay, but the reason behind all that, it's actually horribly complicated because it's to do with the comfort level, the failing economy, and people not being rational about it. So, like, these people, they have nobody to blame for their own dilemma. Yeah. They have themselves to blame because,
And
but they don't have any other option. They haven't learned to rationalize. Yeah. We're basically living in an obey society. So who do I obey? You know, so, okay, one day we're comfortable. So, okay, the crazy guy, he's crazy. But, if whoever's in power, whatever he's doing is not working anymore. Well, yeah, well, they're going to, well, let's try the crazy guy. And that's exactly what's going on with Trump, and what's going on with this guy.
Well, and what you were talking about voting, too, brings to mind something I learned about when I was in Nashville. Kate Ashcroft from Unbuckling the Bible Belt had done a workshop on the impact of your vote. Now, I didn't get to see it, but we hung out afterwards and she talked a bit about it. And one of the things that I did not realize is that in the U.S., there has been a concerted effort. I mean, we're seeing now things like in Alabama, where they're obviously trying to disenfranchise poor and minority voters by removing the identity places that you can get your ID renewed and whatnot. But
there you can play the race card.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm talking, what I didn't know is that even before that, there has been a systematic effort to disenfranchise the youth vote. Because, and because, let's be honest, the more educated kids get, the more likely they are to make reasonable choices when they're voting and understand the impact of their voting. What's happening is, in a lot of states, especially college towns, what's happening is they're instituting laws of residency that are basically prohibiting students from voting because they're in college, they're at residence, or they're at a temporary apartment, they've only just moved there or whatnot. They're not meeting the residency requirements to be able to vote, which is ridiculous. Like, I just worked a polling station in our election. And here, as long as, at the very moment, you can have no ID whatsoever, but if you bring another person that will swear an oath that says, I can vouch that this person lives at this address, you can vote, period. Mm-hmm. And does that mean that somebody might pull a fast one and vote twice? Yep. But they'll get caught. They will get caught. And so the whole, well, you have to have photo ID and live at this joint and blah, blah, blah. Like, it really did make sense that they were targeting the youth vote because those are the ones most likely not to vote for crazy idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the lines have been really drawn between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. You've got the Republicans. Anybody would vote Republican. They're either overly comfortable, you know, and they're winning in a rigged system, or they're voting against their own interests. It's almost a dictatorship. People who are for dictatorship and people who think for themselves. I didn't really frame that. In the most
I think I know where you're going with it.
Yeah,
there's a gentleman that I know, and he's Republican, and he's religious. We've had many good arguments together. Real arguments, not heated debates devolved into name calling. Arguments in the truest sense of the definition of the word, and. Mm-hmm. He and I got to talking about everything because he said, oh, there's no, you know, I can't vote for Trump, but there's no way in hell I'm voting for Bernie. And I said to him, I said, what's wrong with Bernie? And he goes, well, he's pro-choice. And I said, okay, what else is wrong with Bernie? And it got quiet. And he had to think. And really the only thing he came up with, other than the misconception of socialism, which it's actually democratic socialism, asshole. We've already been using it thanks to several Republicans throughout our history of our country. Mm-hmm. You like driving on roads? Yeah, there you go. Anyway, the point made. The only real problem he had was the fact that it was pro-choice. And I said, you know, let me do something here. Let me put a twist on your thought process here for you. Let's say for a moment that there is a devil, a Satan, a Beelzebub, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. And his ultimate goal is to twist your soul you know, to do whatever it takes to make as many people miserable and horrible and give up faith in God and yada, yada, yada. How would they go about doing it? Well, you know, and he came up with all these great ideas, and I said, well, you know, if I was the devil, if I were the devil, I would twist the faith of people to be so fanatical that they would do something like not vote for a relatively good and moral person because of one little topic issue. I would make them so narrow-visioned, no ability to compromise under any circumstances on a particular topic, that they would vote in the most horrible people possible. So, and he kind of sat there and he thought about it. And I said, so, you know, rather than trying to compromise at the moment and vote in somebody that, and, you know, and according to his own words, is really not that bad a guy. And he had a lot of things, you know, he likes Bernie. The other aspects of Bernie that the other stances that Bernie's taking, like on equality for people, regardless of gender, skin color, financial upbringing, all that crap, the reform to the banking systems and the school systems and everything else, he's behind all that stuff. He just can't get around the fact that Bernie's basically pro-choice. And I said, yeah, and if I were the devil, I would be influencing you so much so that you would never dare vote for that guy. And instead, you'd vote for one of these other assholes over here that want to do things in the name of your religion, but actually harm people with it. And that's how, as the devil, I would beat you. Needless to say, there was a lot of introspection on that guy's part.
See, I just need to fiddle.
Yeah, but the single issue voters drive me crazy too, because it's like, what is the only thing in the world that has any importance, either who somebody's sleeping with or who's gonna, like, you know, have offspring? Like, is that the only two things that ever matter to you?
You're not obeying.
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
I've seen it before, and I'll say it again. Why would you be against gay marriage? The gayest thing you can possibly do is worry about what another man's doing with his dick.
Yep. Well, and the other thing, I've heard is, well, if you're against abortion, then you should be for gay people, because gay people don't have abortions.
No, here's the thing. If they have such a problem with gay people, they need to tell the straight people to stop having gay babies.
That too. An abortion would help with that, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a shirt that I actually made it because some twit in an anti-abortion group years and years ago dared me that I wouldn't do it. So I made a t-shirt, and it has the silhouette of an embryo that's colored in rainbow, and it says, "May the embryo you save be gay and proud." I was dared that I wouldn't wear they call it pro-abortion shirts in public. So I made that one. I also made one that actually says "I love abortion" and wore it to Tim Hortons just to screw with them. And of course, when I did that, and I, of course, I took the obligatory, and this is before selfies, so I had to, like, actually bring a camera to Tim Hortons. And, you know, I sent the picture, and there wasn't enough people in the background, so I really wasn't being, you know, making a statement, because there wasn't enough people there to notice.
Jeez, well, I think
much. Yeah, well.
There's too many Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
That's all that says.
Well, this twit was, he's one of those people that, you know, if you support abortion or gay rights or anything, you should be executed, even though, you know, he cheated on two wives, caused one to commit suicide, and took a girlfriend to get an abortion himself. But anybody else that does it, you know, you should be shot.
But don't you see a common line through all of this? It's just people who are not able to put two neurons together. You know, they don't match. I mean, it's critical thought. I mean, we all have it, but somehow it's become a tradition that we don't use it.
And it's poor eyesight.
And let other humans tell us what to do.
Well, if you talk to Beth, the Dominionists have a lot to do with that.
Yeah. But it's poor eyesight on the part of the people that are saying this, because they look in the mirror and they can't see the monster that they are.
Yep.
They just don't have the education. Because these people, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. That's the most insane part. So we can call them any name we want. We can tell them exactly what they are, but they themselves, they don't even get it.
Well, they think that, you know, Jesus is going to be happy and they're going to get to extra special super duper heaven because I'm so holy. And, you know, so they don't care what we say because they think they're kissing enough, you know, they're kissing enough Jesus ass that they're going to be laughing at us when it comes to that point. And they don't know.
Yeah, don't forget, you know, a lot of these people seem to have this concept of, well, when I'm in heaven, I won't care anymore either.
Yes.
Because I'll be too busy blissing.
And so then the ends justify the means. They don't care how they get there because they're not going to remember all the horrible crap that they did to get there. Which,
by the way,
is
I would like
really
to point
disgusting.
Out that in the real world, what we call blissing is actually called meth.
See, so, well, yeah. You know,
save yourself some damn time, people.
You know, in that respect of, you know, when a theist dies versus when an atheist dies, that they won't remember, they won't care about what they did on Earth, that's something we can actually both agree on, because we're both going to be dead anyway. You know,
But they think they're going to enjoy a payoff and not remember all the horrible crap that they did to get there. It's like you know,
feel guilty about all the shit they did to the rest of us.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some mob boss who goes around, you know, killing and framing people and stealing and whatever so that they have millions of dollars to retire from and live in the lap of luxury. And, you know, that when they, that day that they go to retire, they get like some injection that erases all their memory of this horrible crap they did, and like, ooh, now I can be in ignorant bliss for the rest of my days. And it's the same kind of thing.
And that's why I smoke.
Yeah. Really? That's why I quit.
Yeah, me too, man.
No, it just, I don't know. I would be very interested to know what's going on in people's heads, like this Governor Pence and, you know, even the usual lineup of crazies that we see and hear about every week, you know, like I started at the beginning, the Fishers, the Robertsons, the Andersons. Although,
you want to know what's going on in my head?
Can we meet the Andersons?
No. I want to know what's going on in their heads, Joey, not yours. I'm too scared to find out what's going on in your head.
Yeah, I
don't know what's going on in Joey's head.
94 show.
I'm thinking about My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking a huge step back now.
Wrong guy, Tech.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That bulletproof window. Is that what you say when you're under the covers at night with the lights off? Oh, Pinkie Pie.
Oh.
Where's the Chujin?
Chujin, I am so sorry.
Is it the point where he's like, Alan, are you going to fix that in post?
Yeah,
I might have to.
Damn it, I already put the water bottle away, too.
Well, I don't fix the videos in post. I only fix the audio.
I know.
The video, usually, I leave that one up to Chujin. Besides, as soon as we shut this thing off, YouTube takes over, so I honestly have absolutely no say in the matter as far as I know.
Hey, get creative. I mean, turn off his sound and then put creative subtitles underneath.
That's all I do have a need.
This one time in band camp.
Yeah.
You add closed captioning in, like, oh, you know, it would be awesome if they had closed captioning in Klingon. That would be, like, the best.
And maybe we could actually understand something.
There you go.
Oh, the things I have to put up with. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they have a full Vulcan language, because that would be cool, too, put it all in Vulcan.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I saw an online Huttese dictionary a while back. So we could put it all, you know, in Jabba speak if we wanted to. If you wanted to go from Star Trek to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Maybe gotcha. Have both, and you satisfy both sci-fi crowds. You've got Klingon, Huttese, you're good to go.
Oh, even better, because I know this exists, you can do it in Elvish from Tolkien. Because, seriously, I was that much of a nerd in high school that I tried writing in, you know, Elvish runes. As, you know,
well,
why not?
I did. Actually, I used to write in Futhark, so I get you.
Yeah.
So, I know
see,
where you're coming
I know
from
what that is.
Are you there, God? It's me, Joe. I know we're not on speaking terms anymore. But if you could rapture the fuck out of these people already.
Yeah, you know, I'm with Joey on this one.
That'd be
if there really is a God, just rapture all these assholes and let us move on with the rest of our lives.
Oh, I think Joey was talking about us.
Basically, he wants us off the planet at the expense of a bullet on his part.
Yeah.
Bullets are expensive these days, thanks, Obama.
Honestly, if I start floating up in the air because it's a rapture, I'm going to grab the nearest damn tree or wire or something and go, fuck, nope, send me back. I don't want to be up there.
Like, oh, good grief, the people I have to hang up with up there, screw that.
Like that.
Well, somehow I get the feeling if we get raptured up with all of those people, we did something very wrong.
Just remember, when you finally get up there, you're going to get up there with, you know, your great aunt Cecilia and, you know, Uncle George and about the other, you know, how long do they say that the Earth has existed?
6,000 years?
It's going to be a freaking crowded place.
You're going to be up there with 6,000 years worth of people, about 5,800 years of which never had a shower in their life.
You thought China had a population problem.
I have on the mind positive, I heard that Eve puts out.
After she hasn't had a shower?
Makes a mean apple pie.
So what does it take? You just look for the one with the nun habit? Is that it?
No, you can tell Adam and Eve apart from everybody else because they're supposedly, since there was no evolution, right, and they were just magically made, they wouldn't have belly buttons.
Except that every painting with them, they have belly buttons.
That's because the painting artists were stupid.
Oh, okay. So you look for the non-belly button, or
just remember,
you know,
they weren't there.
Yeah, they were there.
Have we broken Joey's brain yet?
And they're the ones wearing the fig leaves, right?
Yeah, exactly. How do we know it was a fig leaf? They weren't there.
No, true. A leaf of some description. Possibly a garland.
I mean, this is like the guy who was trying to say it. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he was claiming now that instead of an apple, because apparently there was, in the Bible, there actually is no reference to what fruit it was.
No, it just says the fruit.
Yeah. There's no fruit mentioned.
But apparently also there is there was another translation where it talked about a weed. And this numbnuts, you know where I'm going with this. He actually tried to tie. Yeah, he. No. Oh. I'm going to make sure that I'm constantly talking about your proximity to the White House from now on, Tech. You're welcome. But no, this Numbnuts was trying to tie in the original cannabis. Sin of Eve with cannabis.
Yeah.
So you know, basically, Adam and Eve blazed a spliff and they got out of heat.
Dude, you're showing your age.
It's that Rasta Adam.
Come on.
Hey, if I was any more drunk, I'd actually be trying to do my Tommy Chong voice, okay?
What were we supposed to be talking about again?
Some idiot politician who decided to continue to take away women's rights.
Oh, right. Yes. That's why I haven't talked very much tonight.
Sorry.
Somebody off of here had mentioned that, you know, I'd been very quiet tonight, and well, that's because I've said my piece. My stance on this entire thing is kind of cut and dry and clear. The only other thing I could do is spend the last hour and a half calling him names, and let's face it, that's low even for my brow.
Yeah.
Mind your own business. Get off my lawn.
Joey does raise raises the point that this is fairly cut and dry. This is reprehensible. The guy, at least to the mind of anybody with a rational brain in their head, this guy is a jagoff, among other words that I could use, but this isn't a Power of Ten show.
There's been at least 5 F-bombs dropped already, dude.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's but still.
Well, I've said A a few times.
When the school teacher is away.
Yeah, but Dallin is the one that has to edit everything.
Okay.
Well, I have 2 daughters I'm concerned about.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is that we're not just talking about this generation. We're talking about the next one and the one after that. Like, how long? Uh-oh.
Joe's got his
hey, there's something you can't do in France.
you definitely can't do that here.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it right. Now get off my lawn. Oh, wait.
You got to make sure the gunpowder's not wet.
That's right. I got to do it correctly.
Worst Clint Eastwood face ever.
Yeah, well, I'm not Jim Carrey. Right? I do not have the face made of putty. He does a damn good Clint Eastwood.
I believe it.
As a protege of Rich Little, he did the old man proud. Yeah. I'll give him that much.
Absolutely. Yeah. What gets me about this bill, I think, the most, and if people looked at it as objectively as, you know, a theist can do, it really does demonstrate that they don't care about the fetus, is the fact that they're forcing women to birth, you know, horribly defective fetuses. And how is that good for the possibly resulting baby? What's
they're
that?
Just obeying.
I know, but that demonstrates to me definitively that they don't care about any, quote, baby or woman or anything. It's only I get to control you. Because who in their right mind would tell a woman that, well, oh, look at that. You're going to, what is that, encephaly where the brain is, develops on?
Yeah, we were talking about Zika virus. Encephaly.
The brain is actually formed on the outside of the skull. There is no possibility that fetus could ever survive. And sometimes they are born alive to some degree, and I can only imagine what kind of suffering that would be. There would be no awareness, but imagine the pain possibility of your exposed brain, you know, being exposed to oxygen in the environment for the first time. Like, it's unconscionable to me. And really, we treat animals better than that.
Yeah.
We really do.
The word you were looking for, Heretic Woman, was encephalacy.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of. And, like, it just boggles my mind that anyone could think it's acceptable. And they're all like, oh, well, they're going to kill disabled babies. Well, that's their choice. If it's within the allotted time and it's a fetus or an embryo or whatever, that's their bloody right to do that. And, you know, there's no slippery slope. Like, we hear, I don't understand how America can live so close to us and not pay attention. Hello, we have no abortion law, and we've had marriage equality for a frickin' decade.
Look, I don't mind you guys. I just don't like maple syrup that much. Jeez.
I hate maple syrup, so I don't even eat it. So, well, there you go.
The problem is your beer sucks.
I don't know. I hate all beer, so there you go.
I can't honestly say that. First off, it's a joke, okay? We all know Canadians can't make beer in the first place.
I just assumed everybody sucked at making it because it's all terrible.
No, I was going to my honest statement is that I've actually never tried any kind of Canadian beer, so I cannot honestly say whether it sucks or not. No, I think the problem is just the origin of our country, and how our history has. I mean, look at how many other countries don't have these problems. They have universal health care. You know, it's just. We're supposed to be one of the richest nations on the planet. We can't give all our freaking people health care.
And like I say, we're right here. We do all these things. We have reasonable success with all of it. And they're still down there going, the world's going to implode and people are going to marry their dog.
We were founded by Puritans, don't forget.
I know.
We have reason to be suspicious of you. You did give us Beaver.
You took him.
Listen, Beaver just wants to be a little white usher. Give him a flashlight, have him show some people to their seats. He'll be fine, okay?
All I'm going to say is you guys took him. That's not on us, man.
Yeah, well, it's getting – you set a precedent, and now because of that, we have Ken Ham from Australia.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you've also got Ray Comfort from New Zealand. So you
never trust exports.
That says the export.
Buy local.
Is your crazy not crazy enough?
Yeah.
Try American crazy. Whoa, let's not go there.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. So many people who are like threatening if Trump wins, or on the other side, if Bernie/Hillary wins, how they're all going to come to Canada. And I'm so looking forward. I would almost want to see all of these hardline conservatives come north of the border and realize that everything that they hold in contempt, everything that they fought against, everything that they voted for Trump four has all existed here for decades.
I would love to see Bernie win just to watch Bill O'Reilly move to Ireland like he's threatened to do.
There were memes when the marriage equality ruling came down last summer. There were memes all over the place. Oh, I'm moving to Canada because gay marriage. And I'm like,
gay marriage a lot longer than we have.
Where the hell were you in 2005, you moron?
No, Bridget, if one of those two crackpots somehow won, I would personally try to spearhead some kind of funder Kickstarter to help get people up here, because quite frankly, I've said this before, you know, about how America is on the cusp, and I wish I could still make as light of it now as I did, you know, a year ago when I first said it. It's like, well, this is probably like one of the most important elections in recent history for the United States, I think.
When I was down there the other week, I literally had well over 40 complete strangers ask me how to move here.
How do we move to Canada?
At the restaurant in Nashville where we're having dinner, the waitress is like, Canadian? So how does one emigrate up there?
How does one become a citizen of Canada?
Well, you don't necessarily need to be a citizen. You can be a permanent resident, which is a lot easier than being a citizen.
How do I become a citizen again? You see where I'm going with this, right?
You're going to post an instructional later, right? Google Immigration Canada. They have a site for all of that.
Well, thanks to the NSA, they intercept all our communications. They don't want us leaving the country.
Well, they can't be trying too hard because Shu's here right now. So.
Well, they know he's coming back.
So, yeah, it's true.
Well, they're actually, Heretical, when you might, I don't know if you've heard of this, our current Minister of Immigration is allegedly working on something to help eliminate the 2-year waiting period for people to become permanent residents.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just caught a piece of it on a news article. I can't remember which one it was. Needless to say, given, you know, the situation with my fiance and I, this was good news. This was very good news.
I've been in your position, although my ex wasn't nearly that motivated, but, you know, and he was already here illegally, so, you know. But it is very daunting, especially if you're a spouse, and people think, well, if you're married, you just come on over. It's like, no. Well, if that was so easy, we might have actually moved down there. But it's, you know, you've got to sponsor your spouse or fiance. It costs upwards of $2,000 just to file the damn paperwork.
Yep.
And then there's all of the hurdles after that. Now, that was 10 years ago that I was trying to do it, so I don't know what it's like now. I can't imagine it's any much easier.
What I've seen is you still have to do the sponsorship. I think the cost that I checked last was $1,400. And one of the stipulations was if for some reason the person you're sponsoring ends up on any kind of government assistance, i.e.
you're responsible for them for 10 years.
Yeah, you get, well, basically they get turfed, you get fined, and you can never sponsor them again or something like that. There was a major consequence.
That's new.
I don't know if it's 10 years now or not. Because if they're able to get out and get their own job and stuff like that and start making money, then I think it's just until they get their actual citizenship, which I don't think takes 10 years anymore.
When I was trying to do it, there was no penalty. They almost kind of said, like, this person may well go on assistance, and if they do, you are responsible for them financially for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, before they would probably get any assistance, it would have to be because you couldn't meet your obligation to support them.
Yeah.
So I don't recall any penalties like that then, which, you know, that could be, but yeah, it's not that easy.
No, and I think I think a lot of us are running out of steam here. Well, you know what? We got a couple of hours in, so I think we're kind of on par with a normal Plan A show. So
yeah,
maybe we'll just start putting a close on this. I knew I was going to say it eventually. So kind of getting back to the original topic, I'll just pan around the group here once more. Any closing remarks, Tech?
No, it's just, how did we get here, and how do politicians get away with this? It's real simple. Apathy. Apathy and distraction. And when you don't care about your fellow neighbor, when you show no interest in the world that's going on around you, things pass you by. And then when you look back, you go, oh my God, how did they pass this law? This should never pass because it's against the law. Well, you know, there was a chance for you to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. Don't do this. This is my voice. Here's my vote. And you didn't.
Okay. Joey, anything else to add? I see you're starting to fade there.
Stay out of my shit, okay?
Okay.
And off his grass.
Yeah. Joseph?
Who, me? I just think this is a conclusion to the 1980s individualism everybody was into, you know, my own comfort bubble, and not dealing with anything outside of it. And I think we're coming to the realization that everybody else's survival is in our own survival interests, and that, you know, our vote matters. And if you don't exercise it, then this is what happens.
Okay. Heretic Woman, any last thoughts on this?
I think I pretty much said it all. Like I say, that the only aim to something like this is control of other people, and they're not even trying to couch this as it's protecting women or whatever. It's flat out, if you get pregnant, too bad, you're having a kid, and if you have sex, you should have a kid, and there's, you know, if you're sexually active, there has to be a consequence, and that's all they care about, because more babies equals more Christians, and that's, I think, the main thrust of the end game here. So it needs to get stopped.
Okay. If I could just add one thing, I think just to make it clear for people that a theocracy, it's a dictatorship. It's one and the same. If that message, I'd like to see a little less biblical discussion and a little more concentration on like rationality and actually thinking things through. Because, I mean, a democracy without rationality is not a democracy.
Very true. Bridget, I'll give you the last word, since you really are kind of boots on the ground in this particular situation.
Well, I'm kind of at a loss. If I knew what to do, I would do it, but I have no idea how to stop this. I'm only one person.
But one voice can be the beginning. You know, you like to say, you can stop a raindrop, but you can't stop a wave. And I think all of us here tonight, moving forward, I think we have a bit of a responsibility to get this story out to other podcasters, posting on whatever we can, social media, anything, to boost the signal and make people aware about the situation like this and what people are willing to do in the name of, they can call it religion, whatever, but the fact is, like Heretic Woman said, this is all about control, and this has to stop. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say that we're the first people to sort of break this story or whatever, but I think we need to get it out there so that media centers, media moguls in our sphere, who are much larger than us, have a much further reach, can get it out there. One thing I've always hated about some shows is that all they do is raise awareness, because we know what's going on, but how do we fix it? And I hope that if we get it out there, that somebody out there will have, will have some kind of idea on where we actually go from here. Right now, we're at a loss, but none of us here are experts. You know, we're your typical, we're the Joe averages. No offense to the two people on the panel named Joe.
Nothing wrong with being average.
Yeah, no, but all I'm saying is that we are the common folk. We're the lay people. We're not politicians. We're not public speakers.
So why are you apologizing for that? Because actually that's what matters most is people like us. Because that's exactly what's got us into the situation, is it thinking, oh, we're too lowly to matter. It's people in higher positions that decide everything for us. But it's actually we who have to decide everything. No, we have to elevate our individual position of anything.
You're right. Mm. But what I'm saying is that maybe somebody else who is like us but maybe has that little bit extra knowledge of what channels we can pursue from here, if this gets to them, then maybe we've done some good. Maybe we can actually make some progress. Is it too late for Indiana?
Us talking about this now is what creates that type of person. If they already existed, we wouldn't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Would we?
Well, then let's hope that by our voices getting out there that we do create that one person.
Yeah.
Who can get this thing going. It could be one of us. Maybe tonight one of us will go to bed and wake up in the morning and suddenly be inspired. Maybe over the morning cup of coffee we'll figure out what the next step is.
There has to be
a next step.
This is very scary.
The next step is sleep.
Sleep. Yeah. Somebody's tired.
Okay, I was trying to draw some kind of poetic close to this, but I'm not a tribble. What can I do?
You can do whatever you want. We live in a free country anyway.
I know. Anyways, it's. I guess we'll wrap this up. So, I'll just go in the same order I did before. Tech, thank you very much for putting up with the substitute here tonight, and you have a good night.
Why would I have to put up with anything? I came here voluntarily.
So what you're saying is you're a willing masochist then, is that it?
Damn straight, Skippy.
All right. As long as we're all on the same page.
Something happens in my life that I always thought was kind of strange. And that is that when it comes to being hit on, I have... more, it turns out the ratio is there's for every one woman in a year that thinks I'm cute, asks me on a date or something like that, shows any kind of interest whatsoever. There's about three gay men that do that. Okay. Yeah. And the reason what spawned this thought process was the fact that you called me a woolly mammoth. And I thought it was strange. And I was sitting with one of my buddies who is of the other persuasion. And he said that, oh, sweetheart, that's because you look like a bear. So, woolly mammoth? Woolly mammoth? Yeah, I'll go with woolly mammoth.
See, I was just going to say, I think it's the hair. I think that's what gets the people of the other persuasion to look at you, because they look at the flowing locks and go, oh, he's fabulous. Just saying.
I am fabulous. I mean, you're not lying there.
Joey, before you conk out on the screen here, thanks a lot and good morning.
Oh, he stopped talking. I don't know. I'm not feeling too great. So, night, everybody.
All right. You go rest. You take care of yourself. Joseph, again, thank you very much, and good morning.
Thank you, sir.
And plug all the things.
Yes. My weekly responsibility.
Yes.
Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com.
Great.
And I don't even know when that's coming out.
Next week, I believe, is the next episode.
Okay. Is it the end yet? No.
No, it's only like episode 5 of season 2, so.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Heretic Woman, thanks a lot for, again, putting up with me, and have a good morning.
Apologizing.
And please,
Thank you.
I'm Canadian. It's in my blood, all right?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's like telling somebody from, like, Alabama to put their gun away. Like, come on.
Easiest way to prove that he's Canadian is have him say the word about.
Yeah, honestly, when I went to the table where Miss Jinx had all of her lovely baubles, and I introduced myself and whatnot, and we were talking, and she stopped me mid-sentence, and she's like, you said about. Like, yeah. She's like, can you say it again? I'm like, okay. Yeah. but we like you. You say it again. It's so cute. So
I knock back a few beers, I'll start getting into my Manitoban, eh? Then you're in real trouble.
Uh-oh. But I am, of course, on Beyond the Trailer Park every Monday night at 9:30 Eastern on YouTube, our channel, Beyond the Trailer Park. I'm still not sure if we're going to have a show tomorrow. It all depends on what time Shujin gets here and how late he wants to stay. So, because I don't want to say, well, you have to leave because I'm having a show, but I don't know if he's going to want to stay late enough to do the show, so we'll find out. Barring any last-minute issues, we are going to have a short special on Tuesday. It's going to be totally off our normal time. It's going to be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but there's a reason for that, and it's because Beth and I will be sitting down with David Silverman. So do tune into that. If you can't make it during the live time, that's okay. It'll come out on the regular podcast stream, and it'll, of course, be available on YouTube as well. So we're really looking forward to that. Like I said, I finished the book. It's freaking amazing. You should definitely read it. I highly recommend it. So yeah, we're gonna sit down with David Silverman this week.
What's the title of that book? I'm actually gonna put a link for in the show notes.
Fighting God. A manifesto for an atheist in a religious world or something like that. It's Fighting God.
Okay.
And
I'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes so that if people want to buy it, they can.
Absolutely. I definitely recommend it. And if you go to the American Atheist website, I believe for $50 American, you can buy a signed copy. He regularly puts them up for sale there. So
that's pretty cool.
And he signs every book with a little smiley face Muhammad on it. So
awesome. Very awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, and Bridget, thank you very much both for tonight's topic, because admittedly I was at a loss, so you came through. I appreciate it.
Thank you for talking about it.
Yeah, you and your family, you're definitely in my thoughts about this, and like I said, I want to get this message out. So thank you. Hope you have a reasonably peaceful night, and please plug all the things.
The only thing that I have to plug is my blog. It's bridgetfitch2112.wordpress.com.
Okay. And that just leaves me trying to wrap things up here. Of course, I've got my own blog, Random Thoughts of a Virtual Tiger, at robotechtiger.tumblr.com. Yes, it's a Tumblr blog. Shut up. And again, I will actually confirm today that on April 30th, I will be at Shift to Reason in Regina, Saskatchewan, rubbing shoulders with people like Seth Andrews, Aaron Ra, Matt Dillahunty, several others. I'm really looking forward to this. This is my first skeptical convention, so not entirely sure what to expect.
You're not skeptical about it?
No, I'm a little apprehensive, actually.
That'll be fun.
I don't think it's going to be nearly as crazy as a FurCon, but who knows?
That'll be fun.
Alcohol makes everything crazy.
Hey, you haven't lived until you've had Phil Ferguson DJ for you.
Keep that in mind. And Katie, if you're still watching, thank you very much for your compliment there. She says, really good show. Great job by all. Thank you. I did have butterflies when I first got started for this, because again, this is going out to the world. This is probably the biggest thing I've ever done in terms of doing something like this. So it's good to know that it actually worked out the way it did. And next week, I am pretty sure the Tribble will be back in charge, so you get to listen to him more than me, which might be a good thing. I don't know. But anyways, folks, until next time, we are the Crap Crew, and we bid you good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.